Welcome to the Chasing Thoughts podcast. Chasing Thoughts was founded by strangers, two life coaches who met on TikTok and shared the desire to create a different kind of life coaching podcast. Instead of talking about how to do it right, the Chasing Thoughts podcast explores embracing our true essence to find a deeper sense of purpose and fulfillment. Life coaches Keith and Mindy take a unique approach that transcends popular notions of perpetual happiness and striving relentlessly to become one's ideal self. Listen in as Mindy, Keith, and their guests take a deep dive into their own minds and souls to investigate the beauty of imperfection, challenge their beliefs, and embrace the richness of living a truly authentic life.
Hi, my name is Keith, and I'm a strategic interventionist and stoner-spirited life coach.
Hi, my name is Mindy, and I am an authenticity empowerment coach.
Welcome to Chasing Thoughts.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 14. And today we are talking to Angel, and Keith and I are so excited because she is a professional artist and comic, and both of us love comedy. Keith has done improv. We're both super creative, so we just can't wait to hear your stories. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to be the person that you are.
Wow. So many paths, not that many, but I feel like every job that I've had, I've taken because that sounds like fun. And how lucky am I that that has gotten to be a thing? Comedy came about that way. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of comedy sports. It's comedy played as if it's a sport. It's like, whose line is it anyway? Only with two teams and a referee. And that's that was my gateway into comedy. I just moved to Seattle, and the guy that owns the Seattle franchise of comedy sports was a fellow Packer fan, and we sat at the bar together, and that's how I went in that direction. So that's the comedy thing, and art. I have been an illustrator and an artist my whole life. I've worked in advertising. My first job out of college was illustrating coloring books for Golden Books. After advertising, I did a stint in publishing, and then I got headhunted into paper plates. You may have eaten off my work. It's a thing. and while I was doing that, I first heard of Paint Night. And I thought, as an entertainer and an illustrator, I am so uniquely qualified to do that. And it sounds like fun. So I called Paint Night to let them know how good I would be at it. And they told me I could do it on Tuesday nights at a bar far away from my home. And I thought, I'm just going to buy easels. So, oh my gosh, that's what I did. Genius that I am. But no, it turned out to be the best, just the best move. I bought 24 easels and some paint and practiced on some friends. And then I called Groupon. Would you give me a spot? They said, yep. So that's how I started. And I was in Seattle and doing the funsy paint and sip things on weekends. And one in four people in Seattle works at Amazon, and Microsoft is also there, and Google. And they said, do you do corporate events? And the improv person in me said, yes, I do. So they started showing up during the day. Nice. And I noticed really quickly that when people are going to a paint night, they bought the ticket, they know what they're going for, and they're excited to be there. When it is a work function, your boss tells you where to be at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, there is equal amounts of excitement and total fear and panic. And don't expect, excuses coming in the door. Don't expect much out of me. My third grade teacher told me I will never be an artist. My sister got all the talent. I can only do stick people. And I thought, oh, that's so sad, because this is supposed to be so fun and good for you. And maybe because my mom was a therapist, but I started delving really quickly into that and why it bothered me so much that people didn't get excited. And so my events kind of quickly turned into a TED talk about why you should do creative things, because we are all artists, and it's inherent to what we are as a creature, and do it because it's good for you, not because you're good at it. So I feel I teach people how to paint a thing, but more than that, I hope I am educating them on how inherent and how important it is to do creative things. Yeah. My story.
Yeah. And I love everything you said. And I also hear in there something that I really love, which is if you're bad at something, bad, that doesn't mean that you're supposed to or not supposed to do it. That being good or bad is not part of the equation of what we get to do for our human experience on this planet. Yes.
It is the marker, though, that people use, isn't it? You know, yes. I'm an amateur. I'm such an amateur. And I said, you know, a professional is somebody who gets paid to do a thing. An amateur is somebody who does it for the pure love and enjoyment of the thing. Oh, my gosh. What a lovely thought. That is what I try to instill in people. You know, I'm not using any skills we didn't have when we were five and learned how to write our name. My favorite art shape is the parentheses. You put enough parentheses together, you've got the Mona Lisa. Ask Da Vinci. He will tell you the same thing. Yeah. And art is like yoga. I like to tell people you're way better on day 800 than you are on day one, but it's good for you on day one.
Yep. So true. And I feel like that sort of commitment to the process isn't as well known as popular as it was 40 or 50 years ago. Like culturally, people seem to be more afraid of that and hanging in there until you're good at something. And that's the only way to do it.
It kind of doesn't help that social media, everybody puts their best stuff forward. I have plenty of bad art, plenty of it, and love the bad art because it gets me one step closer to the good art. Another thing I like to tell people is how inherent expression is to us and creativity, and we're the only living creature that does it. We've got cave art that is 10s of thousands of years old. Proof of agriculture, less than 5,000 years old. It has been more important for us to express ourselves than to eat on the regular. Think about that. And we've also been selling art to each other less than 500 years. That's a blip in time, but that is the marker that people use. Won't be in a gallery, then I shouldn't be doing this. Oh, yes, yes, you should.
And those are my favorite things too. Those, like the Lascaux caves, where you have the handprints. And it's, you know, like 50,000 years ago, and especially like the small hands, the kids that they actually put their hands on the walls and did whatever they did, you know, and it's like a connection, this energetic connection with something 50,000 years ago with a person, a living being that blows my mind.
That just gave me goosebumps. That person is still here in some faction, aren't they?
Yes.
Man, that's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah,
go ahead, Mindy. Sorry.
Oh, you go ahead, Keith.
Okay. That's why, like, creativity to me, like, that's the thing that I am so interested in, especially from you with what you do and how you've just naturally gone into the, like, I'm just going to do what I love, which seems to be a pattern with all the guests that we have, you know? And then on top of that, like, you have this sort of like Robin Williams type energy, where like you just kind of flow from one thought to the next, which I love. Like, so I would love to dive into like the whole creative process. Cause I think that gets, you know, bashed out of us, you know, as soon as we start school, where it's sit down and shut up and do what you're told, you know, so we lose that creative side.
Yep. It got bashed out of me for a little bit when I was a formative age of an adult who was an artist. My mom asked that person to guide me in my artistic journey, and they did a thing and told me to do the same thing, and then they laughed at my efforts. I did not paint again until I was over 40 years old. I learned how to illustrate in Photoshop because undo and delete and layers, and not the same thing, not the same connection to the art, to the thing you're creating, you know? Oh, man. Yeah, that's huge for me as well.
That's something that I wanted to ask you about, because I am the person that you described, right? That I go to a workshop and they're like, even if it's just like making a manifesting board, cutting pictures out of a magazine, I'm like, oh shit, I don't want to do this. Mine's going to be the worst. Like, I just have never felt artistic. And then I found that like building websites and graphic design helped me be creative. Mm. Then eventually I started experimenting with, this is really funny, but I like to like find things in nature, like sticks and rocks that I find really beautiful, and then I paint them or I wrap certain parts in embroidery thread, or I just do weird. And my process while I was just at the table working with my hands put me in a state of flow and relaxation that I didn't get with the graphic design, even though I felt like it was accessing my creativity. And so I still wonder, like, what's actually happening there that my brain waves are going to a different set of brain waves, like that relaxed theta flow state.
Yeah,
And it's so
I don't
cool.
understand that. It's so cool. I don't understand the science exactly, but I know that it is impossible for your brain to have anxiety to work on a to-do list when you are creating, because you are doing three different things. You are manually doing it. You are watching yourself doing it, and creating itself. Your brain doesn't have the capacity. It's an instant mood calmer, and like I said, no to do. It's meditating with a parting gift is what I like to say. When I try to meditate, I spend 15 minutes trying to shut off the to-do list, not successfully, but I can paint for 2 hours and it goes by like that. What is that? That is the thing. That is the connecting to just ourselves at the corest of our core. And it's something we don't really do anymore. And we have technology ways to not do it with the digital stuff. And I'm not knocking it, but it doesn't give you the same benefit that the physical doing of the thing. It really connects us to just our base humanity structure. Yeah, super, super important.
So when somebody comes to you or they're in your workshop and they're really stuck in their head, what do you do? How do you get them into their body and the flow piece?
Do you know what I do? I make them show their piece to everybody. And I try to make everybody do it at the same time, because that look on your face is what everybody does. You see the whites of their eyes. And I'm like, no, everybody do it. I liked when we first start a painting, I have them get rid of the white of the canvas, because that white is the thing that feels pure and that you're going to muck up with your horrible artwork. So let's just paint half of it blue and the other half green. And then we're just going to storytell on top of that. A green puffball can become a tree and a red box can become a barn. So we get rid of the white. And not long after that is when people start going, I don't think this is going well, even though we're not very far in. So I make everybody show their stuff. And then I sit back and everybody without fail starts doing this. Janice, I love how you painted your water. Bill, your sky is so gorgeous. And they start complimenting each other's thing. And I say, do you notice that your brain is genuinely doing this? Mine sucks, but everybody else has something so creative and so amazing, even though none of their art looks like mine. If their art did look like mine, I've done them a disservice. But so the other thing there is how important vulnerability is, and how naturally we support each other. And well, if everybody's thinking that theirs sucks, then maybe mine doesn't either. You know what I mean? Maybe mine has its own original. So there's strength in numbers, I like to think. So that is how one way I get them there. And again, just one brushstroke at a time. And sometimes somebody will turn their art around and say, I just can't blend it like you did. I said, you are a natural Matisse. Matisse didn't blend any of his colors either. And your personality is on your page, and your paint is bolder than mine. You've got a bold personality, or yours is calmer than mine. Oh my gosh, I wish I had a little bit of that. Yeah, the I like to tell people it's Dory the fish energy, because everyone says I sound like Ellen. So I like to say that if Bob Ross and Leo Buscaglia and Dory the fish had a baby, it would be me. Did I finish one sentence in there? I hope I did.
I absolutely love that, because that's a part of me that I hold back. And I want, even doing like this type of stuff, I want to connect more with the creative side. But then I have that, 45 years of like, no, you're not perfect, you're not good enough, all of that stuff. So I'm trying to connect more with the creative side. So I love just watching you tell the story. The amount of creativity that is in that is just amazing.
I just got goosebumps down the back, Keith. I totally understand what you're saying. It's another thing that I think art does because we are so aware of the voice going, this sucks. This is not good. I am not good. But a little piece of art is a great place to practice a little bit. No, you know what? I'm nailing this. There's paint on the canvas. I am nailing this activity. And just to help with the neuroplasticity of turning, you know, we can decide what our message is. No, my art is a little all over the place. Also, it's playful. My art is playful. My personality is probably playful, and that is why my art is playful. And it's such a great, tangible, not personal, because it's hard to turn around and say, I'm amazing after 45 years of saying I'm not so amazing. But if you
Yeah.
can practice those skills a little bit with the little bit of art that you're doing there, so important, so good. It's just so many benefits. I am so biased.
Yeah,
So
you know
do
what? I just wanted to say what I really love about that is, like, as a coach, I'm always trying to get my clients to tell their story and own their story. And that's what I hear you saying too, is that
Yes.
every art piece is going to be unique because every person is unique. And
Yes.
owning that in this very physical form of painting, that it's bold, it's messy, it's whatever it is, that's really cool. That's, I love
Yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah. So
Yeah,
it's
I was gonna
just.
say like the same thing. Like almost like art is a way to explore the lesser sides of our person, the sides of our personality that we hide and allow
Yes.
it to come out. And because like you said, like after 40 years of telling ourselves how much we suck, you know, we have to practice that other thing. So like when
Yes.
you said a red blob becomes a barn, like I would put a red blob on the thing and be like, I suck. Like this
Yeah.
is just horrible, but it's what it can become. So practicing those lesser sides of our personality that we want more of, like that's amazing. I've never thought of that before.
Yeah. Yeah. Another magic mirror is your phone. When you're working on art and you start beating yourself up, take a picture of it because everyone without fail says to me, the photo looks so much better than the actual art. It's the same thing with emotional distance. I don't
Right.
understand the science of that either. I just know it's a thing. I know that if today you're thinking my painting will be really good 60 feet away from me, tomorrow it's going to be 40 feet, and the next day it's going to be 20 feet. You know what I mean? That's such a good thing to keep in mind as well. It's just a, you know, taking a step back from the planet even and not taking that perceived failure so
Yeah.
seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, what you said actually makes me want to paint and see
Yeah.
like what part of my personality, like how do is that expressed in a natural way if I let go of it having to be a certain way. Right?
I wonder if people innately understand that they are directly reflected on their canvas. It is physically uncomfortable to paint a very calm scene if your energy is a little like this, and it is physically uncomfortable to do the opposite as well, you know, and that is fine because if all the art looked alike, what would you bid on at Sotheby's? We'd all be bidding on that same painting, and it'd be a super popular painting. And but different things speak to different people. It's what makes art so interesting is, you know, you can see Van Gogh's soul, can't you? When you look at his paintings, oh my God, when it hits you when you enter the room, and true of other artists too. He's my jam. But and some people look at it and go, eh, it's just so messy, and they don't get the same feels that I do. It doesn't mean that thing is not able to. It makes me feel. You know, my favorite piece of art that I own was probably done by an eighth grader. I found it in a Goodwill. It's Elvis, and his skin is a bright green. And he's with, I think it's Marilyn Monroe. Her hair is impossibly yellow. And they're standing in front of a purple background, and his guitar has all kinds of squigglies on it. This painting gives me more joy than my cat. Is she here? I love it so much.
Yes.
That's priceless to me, you know, and other people can look at it and go, Angel, an eighth grader. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I love it so much. And how awesome is that? And it's not important actually that, you know, The doing is the important thing. It's just an interesting take on it. Is so interesting how something, I mean, if we met on a tennis court today and we've never played tennis, we would not have high expectations of ourselves. We'd be okay with whatever happens, but we don't feel that way about art. Isn't it interesting? I need to stay away from that. That's not my, I don't have that skill. It's so interesting to me.
Yeah. I love the way that you described, and this is my experience too, that art can communicate something that can't be communicated in words. It's all energetic communication. And it's so funny because yes. I'm in Bend, Oregon, so I'm not that far from Seattle. I'm a lot of friends in Seattle, but I was over in Portland this weekend and I was at their Saturday market. And I was walking and I saw a piece of art. And that's what it said. It's like, I need to be with you. Like, we're meant to be together. And I felt like there was nothing I could do about it. And I went to talk to the guy and I'm like, oh, I'm going to come back. And I thought, like, let it out of your system. You don't want to spend all this money on a piece of artwork. No, you do. I went back and bought it. Yeah, because it just spoke to me. Yeah.
Isn't that just affirming in all the ways, in all the ways?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah, I love that.
I have like a whole weird collection where I have some like Josh Simpson glass pieces that I got for my wife, which I love. But before my grandmother passed, there was this painting that when we would go visit her, I always loved. It was just a sort of little house in the woods. And I love paintings like that because it makes me wonder what's down the trail, you know? And then my mind can just like go into that thing just basically creating a story off of this, you know, painting that was just there. So So I have things that are like, I have one where it's my unit from the military jumping into Albania, and then I have like right next to that like a Winnie the Pooh where they're all just like in this open meadow and everything that was like so meaningful to my kids that I kept. So yeah it's pretty cool.
Art is going to make you feel something, whether it's a Da Vinci level of talent or something done by an eighth grader, and that is awesome. And trying to force that thing by only putting it out if it's good or whatever, it's just not a good thing. It's just a such a great connective thing to yourself first. And it is going to connect with somebody else. It just is going to, it can't not. Such a great and important thing. And it makes me so sad that music and art programs are the first things to be cut in school programs. It's so important for just all the ways, from self-worth to self-discipline to expression to it. It's also funny that that's the thing that people, when they have extra income, like to spend money on the opera and museums.
Yeah.
It's just ironic.
Yeah. I agree with you. That's the one thing that I hold out a hope for, is that, you know, we're getting to a place where not everybody has to work and there's more than enough resources for all of us. If we can learn to share, we could have another renaissance, right? Yes. Because everybody could have time and money to devote to art, and it could drastically change the way everybody shows up and what our world is.
I have high hopes because everything swings. Nothing is a constant, right? It's just the meaning of the word life. So if we're here, that's going to happen. I have high hopes.
Yeah. So do you do the paint nights online now, or just your corporate events? I took a look at your website and I know COVID made it so you had to switch gears.
It did. It's all online now because I just very recently moved back to my hometown in Wisconsin. So I'm not in Seattle anymore. I actually do fly back there for events. So I do some in person. I just fly there to go and do them. Haven't done any in person here. I have public classes on Tuesday nights. So if people want to join that aren't a part of a work group, I have them join on Tuesday nights. Yeah.
And what does it look like? Tell me a little bit more about that.
It's basically just like
this, and everybody has their painting, or how does it work?
Yeah, literally just like this. I put something on the easel, not that one, but as yeah, I just paint just like this, and it goes remarkably well. I taught a class the other day with 350 people in it. I
Wow.
know, and you would
Yeah.
think, oh, that's going to be a logistical nightmare. I had someone even on there in the chat, just in case the chat went crazy with questions, and it just never does. People are just able to do it. And I like to think that a little bit of comedy before we start, and then just encouragement and a little bit of comedy in the middle, and then people just kind of get lost in what they're doing. And I find that kids have the most questions, and not in a, I don't think I'm doing this right, but how do I do a butterfly, to add to whatever we were doing? And they're so always so anxious to show me what they are doing. What joy, what joy. When we're six, we are all artists and singers and dancers. And at some
Yes.
point, we decide our efforts are just bad or wrong or just embarrassing. And then the last thing we want to do, oh my God, is share that stuff. It would be just great if we can figure out how to hang on to that. I can't dance in front of people either, so I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth right now. But it's a hope I have for myself.
Yeah, and it's really come up in this discussion how one negative thing or one positive thing that somebody says to you can change your life. And we're all going through this
Yes.
life, and we don't know what we're saying or doing that has that impact, and other people are doing that. But you've created this space where you are intentionally telling people those positive things that
Yes.
could be changing the whole direction of their life. And that is
Yes.
so cool.
Yeah, thank you. I it is my greatest joy in life. Yeah, I totally agree. There are always two ways to look at a thing. Like I said, something can be primitive or it can be playful, and just finding the better word for yourself. And if you're able to give yourself the better word, other people's bad words aren't gonna sting as much. That is the hope. That is the hope.
Yeah. I'd like to talk about comedy a little bit. I love stand-up comedy. In many ways, I think that comedy is sort of right now serving as the philosophers of our time, right? They're commentating on what's happening. They're opening people's minds to different ways of seeing things, right? It sort of reminds me of like Socrates in the square, right? And that's
Yes.
people that are like pushing limits nowadays. And I really appreciate that. And I think that comedy is one of the most courageous forms of art. And I know you guys have both done improv. I have not, but I want to hear more about that piece of your art and how you feel like being a comedian has impacted your ability to day to day go through life.
Immeasurable ways. Immeasurable ways. It's and Keith will tell you the premise of improv is okay, this is my reality. What can I make with this? Instead of shutting yourself down and saying, well, the world is shut down now. I no longer have a business. End of story. Nope. You've got now, this is your, you have a new reality now. And where can you go from here? It's always a matter of looking for the positive. Improv is always accepting what your partner gives you and figuring out a way to honor it and elevate it. It's there is nothing in my life that isn't related to that. Yeah. Did
Man,
I
I love
answer
that.
that? Yeah.
Always, I'm just writing it down, like always accepting what the other person is giving you. Wow. Like that's life
Yep.
changing if you did that and you just said, okay, I'm going to accept what my husband, kid, whoever, my boss
Yep.
said to me. And what do I want to do with it? Do I want to make it a comedy, a drama, right? Now
Yes.
I'm on stage,
Yes.
but sitting there and going like, why the F did you say that? That's not what you're supposed to say, right? That's not serving anybody, and it's not moving the
Yes.
story forward in any
Yes. Exactly that. It's not listening. It's not trusting. it's not, because we all have like trigger words, somebody will say something, and if I had said that, I would mean this horrible thing. That trigger's not a thing for that person, then they are not trying to trigger me. They're just talking. And if you trust that that person has honorable intentions in the world, there are very few evil people. And even the evil people have to have something going on, fear or anger about something. And if you understand that nobody is ever out to hurt your feelings, they're just maybe not expressing themselves in a way that you would, but they're just trying to tell you that they are hurting, or that they have this pain point, and they've handed you the gift of the vulnerability of that pain point. Then what, okay, I hear you. And either I'm not understanding you, so please explain it more, or is this how I can help? Yeah.
That's
That's
beautiful.
beautiful. And that just, if you don't mind me bringing it up, Mindy, like Mindy has been hit with a couple of trolls lately.
Oh, me, oh.
That based off of very like get out of your comfort zone, type thing, taking it to the point of being degrading towards her. And I love that kind of way of looking at it. Instead of taking it as a personal like assault that I have to defend myself against, as a thing of like, well, they're showing me their pain,
Yeah.
even though it's coming
Yeah.
at me, but that's really where it comes from.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what a beautiful, trusting gift that they put their pain out there for me to see. Right. Even if
Yeah.
they didn't intend for it that way, they showed up and they showed where they had a wound. And
Yeah.
that's powerful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
was thinking of the same thing, Keith, when she was saying that. I was like, yeah, totally new reframe for gratitude in those situations where, yeah, I have the opportunity to accept.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for one, every one guy like that, there are 1,000 people who aren't commenting on your stuff, who are watching, but aren't commenting, aren't actively interacting with you, who are like, yeah, Mindy, me too. I who are in accord with the things that you put out and appreciate your vulnerability and stuff.
Yeah. And like you said, if you're going to do art, which is showing up in any way in your
Oh
life,
yeah.
there's going to be people who love it and people who hate it. There's nothing you can do about that.
Yeah, nothing you can do about it.
It's just the way of the world. And if your art isn't being appreciated yet, it just hasn't been seen by the right people yet.
That's exactly right. Yeah, not only are we creative by nature, we are also filers by nature. We put things in boxes, and that's just a, excuse me, if someone doesn't like your art, they put you in a box. And that's okay that that's not your box.
Right, but it's the box
Yeah.
that's comfortable for them to make sense of it. So,
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
exactly.
That's really,
That's
really neat.
yeah. And I love because so last year I started really kind of getting into mushrooms, and the biggest lesson that I get every time I try them is I'm so stiff, and this idea of flow, and everything that I've heard you describe with art is all about that. It doesn't matter what's there, it matters what you can create from it, which, being stiff, I'd be like, oh, there's that red blob. I suck. I'm done. There's nothing I could do. That's what it is. It's just a blob, and then like, I guess that's a projection of the way I see myself too, like, this is who I am. I'm just a freaking blob. There's nothing I can do
Yeah.
with it, but
Yeah.
getting into that flow state, and being able to work with what you have and create. It's not a matter of what's there, it's a matter of what you can create from what's there. Like, that is amazing.
Yes. And your mind is so powerful. It sees whatever you tell it to see. Another really
Yes.
favorite little watercolor sketch that somebody that I admire has done. It's three very colorful Victorian houses in a row, and it's watercolor and pen and ink. And someone said to me, "Why do you like that? It's so bad." And I'm looking at it, there's not one straight line on the whole painting. There's not one defined wall. And I'm like, how did I not even notice? I just see three houses. You know, you kind of tell yourself what you see, and anything that you give attention to becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. And I saw it as these three beautiful little houses with just beautiful color. And this other person saw something that would not be up to code in very dangerous stairways and second floors. And
A piece of art that breaks all the town codes. I love
this
that.
person obviously doesn't own a ruler. Well,
That's awesome.
Do you have any experience with art? Have you ever painted or done crafts or gardening? Like, what has art looked like for you in your life?
So this is my last, it's now my pen cup, but this is my last. We went to like a paint night. Where is it? Here we go.
Oh, that's
But
awesome.
and then I didn't know what to do, so I made a little ninja.
I love
They
that.
were fighting each other, and then the couple of dead ninjas, and then
I love
a
that.
horse that got caught up, in the battle. So yeah, but it's funny though, because I did this because I thought this sucked, so I'm gonna do something dumb and make it funny. So almost like using the humor as a protection against judging myself for it, be like, I didn't mean it to be good, so I just meant it to be dumb, but now like I want to try again with like the stuff that you've been saying.
Also,
But
can you
I
just appreciate about your fact that you are a storyteller? Because you've got a whole arc of a story and a finish line and a tragedy and comedy. It's all there on one mug. Let's just talk about how brilliant that is.
That's so
I
true.
never
You need a whole
thought of
story, Keith.
that.
That would be one of the things, again, that I would love, because I look at that and I see playful and I see just creativity down to a horse that got caught up in the mix. Oh my gosh. I would pay money for that mug, and I'm not blowing sunshine. I
Well,
would.
it is for sale, $1,000. It's yours.
Okay, I'm
So,
visiting your Etsy shop as soon as we're done here.
it's funny because that's the side of my like when I started doing the coaching, I felt like I became, and me and Mindy have talked about this, became like a character, like I'm the coaching character. And in my family, they call me oh, now I'm gonna forget. He was one of those like insult comics back in the day, like that was cool. I'm
Oh,
gonna forget his
well,
name.
Don Rickles.
But yes, Don Rickles.
Okay.
That's what my family calls me, Rickles, because I like rip everybody apart, but not in a mean way, just making everybody laugh. And I struggle with bringing that into the business side, almost like my mind is kind of dissected, and this side is for seriousness and this side is for play, and I want it reversed. I want to be like a life coach that is the biggest fool that has ever spoken.
Okay, I would pay for that. I have a friend who is an artist, and she is just so silly, and her art is so serious, and she wonders why she's struggling with sales. I'm like, it's because you're not authentic. I'm like, this is such a big part of who you are, and it's missing. I don't see it when I look at your art. I don't see it when I see your socials. Like, just be authentic, be all of you, because we're all so three-dimensional, and we're all so nobody's black and white about it, right? We're all so gray area. We are serious and we're funny. And I really feel like the more bits of you that put out, that's more for people to resonate with.
You know what I was thinking, Keith, is it's almost like you could be the coach and like you roast people. I think that roasts are so awesome because it's exactly what you're talking about. It's humor without anybody's ego taking offense, right? And everybody knows what the rules of that are. And that's very much my inner voice. Like when I talk to my future self and stuff, she sort of roasts me all the time, right? Like to get me going. And I personally like it, right? But when I explain it to other people, they say, "Why are you talking mean to yourself?" And I'm like, "Oh no, that's our banter, right?
Yeah.
You can all do the same thing with your clients, right? Like find a way to, you know, roast them and make light of like pointing out where growth is and stuff. And that would be cool. I'd go see somebody like that."
I would too. Maybe have them start with roasting themselves and get that comfort level and then with each other. And I think as long as, and with improv, Keith, you can also tell me there's, like I said, that level of trust that if you fall, the other guy's going to catch you. So if he says something, you know, it's done in love. Always done in love. I teach a caricature class because it's all done in love, teaching people how to draw caricatures. And I give explanations like this. I'm like, now we're going to draw eyebrows. I'm an expert. I draw mine on every day.
I love that. Yeah, because it makes me think. So in Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning, he mentioned something, and all the things that people take of that book, this is one of the things that I don't hear too much about, but he said humor can make an insurmountable issue, like problem, more manageable. You know, yes. So being able to laugh at the situations we get ourselves in, or just laugh at how you are about to just give up, you know, and just like call it a day, you know, and be able to laugh at that, is so powerful. You know, humor is such a beautiful gift that we've been given to live with. And yes. Again, I think that's something that is sort of trained out of us, you know, as we're growing up, you know, like even, like the Bible talks about, you know, when I was a child, I did childish things, but then I put away childish things. But I was just thinking about the other day, you know, at one point Jesus said, we need to be like children, come to him as children. And I'm like, I want to be a kid again. Mm. You know, like I want to laugh at the fact that I woke up and just because I was sleeping, I threw my back out, you know, like that's a painful, but very funny thing, you know, and just have that childlike mentality plus of seeing the wonder that's all around us. Like, life itself has become white noise in the background of what we have to do next. You know? And I think that's what's driving so much of the pain and suffering in our societies.
Yeah, a disconnect from awe and wonder, right? Yeah. And,
yes. Yeah. So good.
Yeah.
The comedy that I do when I'm not doing improv, my stand-up is music. I am a musician, and I write parodies mainly about menopause.
I love
oh,
it.
Oh no! Yes.
Oh my
so, god. Hot child in the city is now hot flash in the city. And don't worry, be happy. Now just list all 34 pain points of menopause.
I love that so much because I don't get on my soapbox a lot about this in our podcast, but menopause is one of those things. I'm turning 45 next month. So I'm starting to experience it. And when I talk to my doctor and other women, I'm like, wait, what's going to happen? Like, this is a thing that happens to 50% of the population and no one's talking about it. It's a friggin' mystery to me. Like
in this day and age, it's crazy. Right? Like,
so yeah, people need to be making parodies and joking and talking about menopause because it's a thing that half of us experience that changes fundamentally, like our feelings and our emotions and our bodies and our identities. So
this is going to blow your brain.
To hear that.
This is going to blow your brain. We all experience it, except for I think there are only two pain points that are different for men. Theirs is called andropause. It's a thing. They don't even know because they don't, you know what they call it? Getting older.
Right.
We've got a disease name for it.
Yeah. And
I've
how
never
much
heard of that.
I've never andropause. Heard of that either.
Look it up. Yeah, it's a thing. I've deep dived because deep dove. I went deep because in writing, actually did research in writing some of this stuff and doing little comedy bits around it. Yeah. Oh my gosh, a cure for menopause back in the day, a couple hundred years ago. one of them. I won't mention all of them because they're not family friendly. Golf.
Why?
Golf. I
Golf.
don't know. Golf
It's so
was
bizarre.
prescribed.
So bizarre.
Wow.
Yeah, no idea.
So are you doing stand
Weird.
up both online and in person?
Yeah, pretty much in person. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, stand up's hard to do online, I'm sure, because you're playing with the audience. You need some back and forth, right? It's a dialogue, even though it seems like a one-way dialogue, the way that they're laughing and responding to you is part of how you know where to go.
Yes, absolutely. That is absolutely the thing. And I thrive on the interaction. Even in my classes, sometimes corporate groups are so used to attending meetings with the camera off and muted. I'm like, is anyone in there? Oh my
Hello.
God. I'm like, is this landing? Are you guys okay? Does anyone need a hug?
Yeah. Do you remember the first time that you did stand up?
Yes. Yes, I was quite young and a DJ on the radio back when that was a thing.
Nice.
And it was at a larger nightclub, and the opening act, there was a snowstorm and they weren't ready yet. They weren't set up at the time. So they said, just get up there and just talk. It's kill time.
Right.
So that was as much improv, I guess, as it was stand up. But yeah, that was quite funny. Yeah.
You walk away feeling good about it?
I'm sorry, say that again, Mindy.
Did you walk away feeling good about it?
Always. Yeah. I think because I was a musician as a teenager, I don't really have stage fright. That's not really a thing for me. I don't mind messing up in front of people, which also makes me perfect for improv. I don't have much stage fright, so I'm just happy to stand in front of people and making a goof of myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was going to be my question. Like, do you get like all the nerve? Because I feel like if I was going to try something like that, I would have to be wheeled out on a gurney with medics like right there, constantly monitoring my blood pressure and stuff. But like, how do you deal with those nerves?
They're not even a thing, and I don't know if it's because like if you go to karaoke, do people love the people who can sing near as much as they love the people that are just out there w wailing and they're horrible? No, those are the people that, we are just naturally supportive creatures, right? There is an improv exercise, a warm-up that we do where everyone stands in a big circle and a meteor goes, "What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of?" And people go, "The dark, spiders, whatever the thing may be." And as we keep going around, people start saying that my dad never loved me, that my, things that they're really, that I'll end up in a cardboard box, that I will fail the thing. And at that point is when I start going, I want to go hug that person and l let them know I have some of the same fears. That's our connector. And I am not scared of a connector. I think that's why I don't have stage fright, honestly, because I know that no, people aren't going to let me fall. And so if I'm up there messing up, is when people are like, "You got this." That's naturally who we are for the most part, trolls aside.
Yeah.
I think that was like one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard. Yeah, just like feeling the emotion come up in that, like that is incredible.
And I think a lot of people don't trust the world and they don't think anybody has their back and they might not even have their own back, right? And
Absolutely. And those are the trolls. Those are the people who are out there spitting their fear out. Yeah.
But yeah, knowing people have your back and knowing that imperfection and fear are the things that we all share.
Right? That,
So,
right?
so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
awesome. Do you ever do classes for like groups if they contact you, like a women's group or
Oh
this
gosh,
group
yeah.
is smaller ones than
Oh
350
yeah. Oh yeah.
people?
I just woke up at I did a podcast with a wonderful guy in Taiwan a few weeks ago. He's a high school teacher, and he contacted me sometime after the class, and he said, would you consider waking up at 3 a.m. to teach my high school kids? Because I'd really like them to experience what you do. So I absolutely did. I set an alarm and I got up and I taught 6 kids in Taiwan how to do it. Absolutely, I will do that. I am a yes and person. And the more value I think it will give, I work things totally valuable. But when somebody literally reaches out and says, I've got a group, yeah, I'm there. I am there. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't sure how it went with the kids in Taiwan because they were all muted. And as they were working, all I saw were the tops of their heads while they were drawing. And I'm like, oh, is there a language barrier? Should I talk slower? That's really hard for me to do. And one of the kids turned out their name was Jack, because as we were drawing, the teacher said, that looks like you, Jack. And so I kept mentioning Jack every now and again, like, instead of drawing Jack's hair, we'll do it this way. And the kids would all giggle whenever I'd say the word Jack. So I kept doing it. And he wrote to me the next day. He said, because they were just so quiet and he couldn't get them to ask me any questions afterwards or anything. They were 14, 15 years old, I think. And afterwards, he wrote to me, he said, they loved you so much. And they were wondering if you'd consider coming, getting back online and teaching them again. It's like, 14-year-olds, it's hard for them to, talk.
It is.
So I've been bragging about that class for a week now and probably will continue for a while. It was unpaid. It was in the middle of the night and it meant so much to me. I am never saying no to those sort of things.
Beautiful. Yeah. Well, I just find what you do and who you are completely inspiring. So thank you so much for coming on the show. You have really inspired me to get to know that part of myself more, right? And uncover what's there to be known in that creative space.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. This has been really inspiring for me too. I don't often feel like I come off as authentic because I am so Dory the fish. But I feel like this was just lovely. It was just lovely talking to both of you. Thank you.
It's awesome. Yeah. I absolutely love who you are. Like you said, like you don't feel like you come off authentic, but it's the funny thing is like when I allow myself to be how I see you, where whatever thought comes in, that's what's coming out. Like that's when I feel my most true, my most authentic self. And like Mindy had said, I am so inspired because I love writing. Like for me, that's my artistic outlet.
That counts.
Art goes.
That counts. Mm-hmm.
But I have pushed it off for so many years because I'm not as good as this person or that person, or like not that I ever want to be that person, but I just want to be me. But there's things, so this has been one of the most inspiring episodes, just for who you are. I feel lit up with just light and a fire right now. It's so incredible. So thank you so much.
Yes, you're welcome. And try the art anyway. I love writing, but words can be super limiting, right? Because words mean such tiny little things. So just try it. Try the art.
Before you came on, me and Mindy were talking about like once we work with clients, we take on that energy and ways to sort of get that out of our system. And I'm thinking like I'm about to go out and buy an easel and some paints, and if it's like a rough session, I'm just gonna slap like go Jackson Pollock on there, but I wonder if like taking 10-15 minutes to paint after a session would just allow us to get that stuff and then ground ourselves back into who we are.
Yes Wow, goosebumps again. You guys are doing such good things. Wow.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a good tool to use, mm-hmm. to You're talking about decharging from session, you know, and life. And that's a good idea too. Yeah. Just putting it out in art and letting it be. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe you can have us on your classes, like special speakers, you know, special art instructors. We have no clue. I can teach people how to draw little ninjas and stuff. Yeah,
could we collaborate? Let's talk. Yeah, have your people call my people. It would be my cat. She doesn't take calls. I'll answer.
Okay. Oh, thank you so much, you guys. It has been a really great morning chatting with you. Yes. So much.
Thank you.
Really, really appreciate
Thank you, Angel. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much, you guys. Let's talk again soon.
Okay. Definitely. Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Chasing Thoughts podcast. Please support us by liking, subscribing, or leaving a review or comment. We would really appreciate it. If you'd like to be a guest, we would love to explore life and what it means to be human with you. Please email us at chasingthoughtspodcast@gmail.com.